it seems that the leadership in the House and Senate have reached the conclusion that that's the best path forward given the politics of the moment. So I would expect that the CR will go through. And, of course, that's what precipitates this new action with respect to the federal employees.
And so given that, what do you make of the president's decision to, depending on how you look at it, either end or extend the pay freeze, but, you know, only if and when we get out of CR mode next year?
Well, I think it's a practical acknowledgement of the reality on Capitol Hill right now, and that a CR was probably the best result one could hope for in the current political circumstance. I'm sure the president doesn't like that that's the situation we're in, but it's one that's been forced upon us by the House Republican leadership, which is very adamant in the position they've taken. And they've viewed the federal workforce as kind of this piggy bank that we should keep going back to for deficit reduction when that workforce has already contributed significantly. I think going forward, you know, the federal employees ought to be taken off the table in terms of additional contributions given what they've already put into the mix.
Labor unions and I'm sure a lot of individual feds are upset about this basically pay freeze extension. I'm just speculating here, but I would guess the logic of this would be that since agency appropriations are essentially frozen at the levels they have been throughout the duration of the pay freeze to date, you really can't increase salaries or end the freeze without taking that money from somewhere else or getting into Anti-Deficiency Act trouble. Is that basically how this works?
I think that's the perspective, yes. But I certainly understand why they're angry about it. I mean, we need to step back. What happens is you can get yourself trapped into this sort of six-month stopgap perspective on the federal budget. It's easy to lose sight of the larger issues and narratives that are at work. I think that the federal employees and the unions that represent them do not lose sight of that. And they're constantly reminding us that there's been an agenda to go after the federal workforce in a very deliberate way. And even though the federal employees have made significant contributions, as you know, $60 billion represented over 10 years with respect to the existing pay freeze, and then the Republicans came back again and sought to add to the retirement burden of federal employees, notwithstanding contributions already made, they continue to want to come back to the federal workforce like it's this piggy bank for deficit reduction. And at a certain point, that's not fair. I mean, I think, you know, federal employees are ready to step up like any actor in this drama and make a contribution to try to promote efficiency within the federal government and address the deficit. But, you know, you've got Republican leadership in the House that refuses to look at some of the revenue side of the equation in a reasonable way, but keeps wanting to come back to the federal employee. And those larger narratives are ones that I think it's fair to remind lawmakers about and also to bring to the attention of the public.
Now, you're on August recess with the rest of Congress, presumably spending a lot of time talking to constituents in your district, which obviously has a lot of feds in it. What are you hearing from them? Do they feel like punching bags here? Are a lot of them telling you that they feel like throwing their hands up and getting out of public service?
I do talk with federal employees who, that's a good phrase you use, feel like a punching bag in this. I worry about the effect it will have on the morale of the federal workforce at a time when we need the best and the brightest to stay in government service and to be attracted to government service. When you look forward at the investments we need to make in the nation, in its infrastructure, in all aspects of what improves the quality of life of the nation, these federal agencies are right at the core of that mission. If we're going to disinvest in the very people that help these agencies work well and provide good services to the public, we're disinvesting in the society itself fundamentally. And that's a mistake. And that's why I feel so strongly that we need to support the federal workers, because they have a tremendous amount of leverage over important things that are happening in our society. Let me give you one example.
Sure.
If you work for the Social Security Administration, you're in agencies that look that is looking at a huge demographic wave that's coming at us. If you work for HHS or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, you're looking at this huge demographic wave of seniors. We need quality people who are competent at the job, who've got good experience, and are there in the numbers that are sufficient to make sure those agencies are strong in order to deliver services to those important constituencies in our society. So why wouldn't we make sure the investment in that workforce is as strong as it could be? That's the importance of the federal worker.
Last thing before I let you go, Congressman, of course, everything we're talking about here is kind of moot if Congress doesn't figure out a way to undo sequestration. There was a study out last week, which I'm sure you're familiar with, that found 108,000 civilian feds just in DOD alone end up getting eliminated just next year if sequestration happens. I mean, do you see a clear path forward on a way around this? Will Congress kick the can on the road down the road on that too, or find a genuine alternative that cuts deficits, or is there a real chance that sequestration could actually happen?
I don't see a clear path forward. I believe there will be a path forward. I think that the prospect, the consequences of that would be so dire for our economy that we are going to reach some kind of agreement, I think, before it happens that will dull the impact of it. Now, what that agreement will be, what form it will take, and what burden will need to be carried in that exercise, it's impossible to know at this stage because we're not going to have, I don't think, a particularly constructive discussion about it before this election is over. But my hope would be that members of Congress and the administration will come together after the election, whatever administration it may be, recognizing that these issues have to be tackled and take what steps are needed to avoid this fiscal cliff, which has become the shorthand way of referring to what looms before us on January 1st, 2013. I do hope that going into that discussion, there will be a recognition that the federal employees have already contributed substantially to trying to bring about a responsible fiscal environment, and that they won't be asked to continue to contribute more and more and more, because that's, first of all, it's not fair, but secondly, it imperils the mission and functioning of these agencies that are so critical to supporting quality of life for members of the public.
Do you see sequestration becoming an election issue this time around, or is it too wonky that only people around the Beltway like us care about it?
I think the fiscal cliff issue is one that's getting more attention, particularly as different sectors begin to plan for the consequences of sequestration. It is creeping into the political discussion. I think there'll probably be a fair amount of discussion of it before the election and for the benefit of the election. I just don't see any major action being taken by the Congress before the election to actually address it, which is unfortunate, but is the consequence of being in a highly charged political season as we now are.